Tonight we look at this meal, the Lord's Supper, that Jesus shares with his disciples. And if you'd like to follow along, it's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We'll start at verse 14. It's on page 882 of the Bible located in the pew in front of you. Before we continue, please join me in prayer. Lord, illuminate your word to pierce our hearts and minds to accomplish your purpose in, among, and through us for your glory. Amen. Amen. Now, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he called his disciples to himself and he appointed them to be with him. He told them about the kingdom of God. He taught them to pray. He modeled how to live for them. He invited them to watch as he healed the sick and raised the dead. He empowered them to preach the good news. He explained to them, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he revealed to them that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told them about his coming, suffering, death, and resurrection. And on this night, he called them friends. For all that he had heard from the Father, he made known to them. And now they arrive at this beautiful, mysterious night. The atmosphere is precious and sacred, yet profound and sorrowful. Perhaps they are afraid or confused or maybe sad or worried. And what did Jesus do? He gathered them together. He gave them himself. And he made them a promise. For his last night with them, he gathered them together to celebrate or observe the Passover. And Jesus arranged for them to have this place. He told them, "The master of the house will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare the Passover there." He prepared the place for them, and he waited until the appointed time. Look at verse 14. "When the hour came." This was not just the hour to celebrate the Passover. The Passover was celebrated at dusk. It was the hour, the appointed time for the last night with his disciples. This was the hour he would celebrate the Lord's Supper with them. Jesus modeled for them how to love and serve each other. And he shared his heart with them. Look again at verse 14. And listen to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of that verse. Jesus said to them, "You've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." He gathered them together. And on this precious, sacred occasion, what did he give them to remember him by? Jesus gave them himself. He gave them his body. See verse 19. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He knew his body would be broken. He would give himself to his captors, and they would beat, hang, and pierce him until he died. His body would be like a match extinguished for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus gave them himself. He gave them his blood. See verse 22. "This cup that is poured out for you This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood. He knew his blood would be spilled by the crown of thorns on his head, by the whip lashing his back, the nails piercing his hands and feet, the spear slicing his side. And now Jesus, the Lamb of God, was offering himself as the perfect sacrifice to fulfill the old covenant and institute a new covenant. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. You see, during the Passover meal itself, Jesus deliberately replaced these words. "This is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate," with these words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Now all people, not just the Israelites, could be reconciled to God the Father through faith in the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gathered them together. He gave them himself. And he made them a promise. He made them a promise. He promised them a present hope. He promised to give them the Holy Spirit. He told them, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." And Jesus promised them an eternal hope. In Matthew's account of this evening, Jesus said, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." That day is the great day. It is the consummation of the story, the return of the Son of Man, the gathering to him, the great judgment, the kingdom banquet. Dale Bruner, a New Testament scholar, writes of this phrase, "This is one more way for Jesus to say how much I love you. My greatest expectation is that we will have this meal together, and I can hardly wait." What did Jesus do on this last night with his dear friends? He gathered them together. He gave them himself, and he made them a promise, a present and an eternal promise. And tonight, what does Jesus do for us? He gathers us together. He gives us himself, and he reminds us of this promise. He gathers us together. Think about that for a moment. Who or what led you here tonight? Was it Jamie? Was it a member of your family or a friend? Was it simply a habit? Or was it Jesus? Jesus wooing you. Jesus moving in your heart and mind to meet him here. Jesus, through the faithful members of this church, the acolytes and the altar guild, the musicians, the sextons, the ushers, and more, preparing this place for you and me to meet with him. Jesus appointed this time and set it apart to share with you and me. Jesus is present with us now. He promised, "When two or three are gathered in his name, there I am among them." Lord, grant us the ability to see you with the eyes of our heart. And Jesus shares his heart with you and me. You've no idea how much I've looked forward to sharing this meal with you. With you. With you personally, individually. He knows you by name. Amy, Vicky, Tom, Mike, Sarah, Ken, and you corporately. Imagine him saying, "Truro, you have no idea how much I've looked forward to sharing this meal with you." Jesus gathers us together, and he gives us himself. Jesus gives us himself when you and I, by faith, come forward to receive Holy Communion. He gives us himself. In a few moments, Jamie will pray over the bread and wine. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you and me? Listen to these words from the letter to the Hebrews. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of what? The blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And the bread and wine are not just tokens of our faith. They're signs of God's grace and his goodwill toward us. Through them, he works in us to confirm and strengthen our faith. And we're renewed in the love and unity of the body of Christ, the church. Jesus gathers us together. Jesus will give us himself. And Jesus reminds us of his promise. Jesus gives us a present hope. Yes, life on this side of Eden is broken and fallen. Things are not as they were meant to be. You know it. I know it. It's heartbreaking. And at times we feel angry or confused or disappointed or fearful or guilty, overwhelmed, sad, weary. And we share those sorrows and griefs. And yet, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, grants anyone who confesses that he's the Lord and believes God raised him from the dead, reconciliation with God, forgiveness of our sins, in union with him. Union. Lord, grant us the grace to see and know and live into that. And grace. I love this verse from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Not because we figured it out and tried hard enough or got it right. No, because of his love, mercy, and grace. And Jesus gives us a future hope. You know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life that goes on forever. And he gave the Apostle John a glimpse of that life. Listen to these familiar words. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Jesus gave John this revelation of the future, of the certainty of the hope he's planted within us. That is the hope to which Jesus has called us, and he has gone ahead of us to prepare the way. So tonight, Jesus gathers us together. He gives us himself, And he reminds us of his present and future promise. So how do we respond? The words from this song come to mind. Just listen as I read them to you. Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain. Sinner, sorry and wrecked by the fall, cleanse your heart and your soul in the fountain that flows for you and for me and for all. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever, forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, we will honor that night tonight with a quiet, somber reflection fitting the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. We will witness the holy table stripped. We will leave in darkened silence. But soon, we will rejoice, because as Jamie reminded us on Palm Sunday, on the cross, the darkest and lowest point of Jesus' humiliation is also the highest and most glorious point of his exaltation. Because in that moment, Jesus accomplished salvation for you and for me and for all. Amen.